We've had our invitation from the Father and Lord Conference. I realize that there is something in there that we can't even always ask myself, and I think it's always from stress because I've left Yeah, what is the patient, the application of the patient? Like, I have the issue, but I don't hear anybody talking about physical cancer. If you have a lot of healer in South Africa, then I can do be a complaint and research with that as well. You know, without giving any, going further into the whole thing. But I don't hear anybody talking about that in the complaint. And when we talk about the research, what the report that we have made, I'm saying, S-A-L-S, did you check the trans constitution at exactly what age are we talking about? We should not think about the sex reference only from the street. Like, the trans drivers, you know, the expert young girls, yeah, you know, you look at those girls that are 16, 15 years, and we should also consider other laws, because in South Africa we are the adults only when we are 18 years old. So when we talk about decriminalization, what do you say about the kids? I mean, who are still 15 years old? Are they going to be part of decriminalization? And when you take them off your kids, is brothel safe enough for sexual stuff? And the kids, I mean, we get kids, we see all the shows about the kids, and what they do to exploit women and exploit their money. Is it a solution? Maybe this question is not only to you, but to stretch and other organizations that are here. But I would also want to expand on the definition between a prostitute and sex worker. Just for, you know, when you come out of this meeting, I should be able to show to another member of parliament who has not part of the meeting, you know, this is what is led to today, and we are all saying we need to do something as far as we can in terms of dehumanization. So I think when you say we need to teach people out there, we need to understand that culture. Thank you very much.
No, I doubt that Honorable Kuru. I part of your presentation, I was thinking that I can't be elaborating on the issue of sex workers and safety. And sex was quite, you know, clear on that thing. It shouldn't confuse the two. Maybe we should get a clear understanding of how to correlate these things. Yes, honorable.
Thank you very much. Actually, SAMR scheme presented, I didn't hear anything about them being going to have to decrease that I can't. So I assume that they don't agree. Okay. But these are the reasons why they don't agree. Because so far they have told us about the researches that they had from other countries. And I think I want to agree with the honorable know that that our cultures are different. You know, in South Africa, violence was institutionalized. And when violence was institutionalized, we did not de-institutionalize violence in the land of the people. And we believe in that. So, we must agree. The issues, the research that they are talking about, it's not a research that they have done based on the reality of the South African society. The people that they did a survey, I want to say it's a survey because it's a 1,000 or whatever number. I have not met them, probably. You should have included me in the survey. Just so that I can answer your questions properly. Because I don't agree with the things that you're talking about here. Firstly, let's go to your problem statement. You said opinions on the legislative framework are polarized with views for decriminalization. That's the negative. The negative part of that particular statement. You must also expand. I think when you write a report, you have to take the negative and the positive, but you present in the negative. Yeah. The second issue that you say, that every content includes unique societal challenges, population and geographical specificity, includes polarized borders. What has that got to do with the issue now? Because the borders that are porous, you can't have a solution how to close them. And the people that are in the country, what is the solution? You're not bringing a solution. Actually, as a commission, you're supposed to do research and bring the solution to us so that we assess the solution if they are correct or not. So you continue being very throughout, you know? In your report, so I can't really dig deep into what is it that's taken in your writing. I can't ask the correct question. Because everywhere, all the sentences I can tell you that internationalism and exploitation of prostitutes is being increasingly recognized with a number of countries introducing measures. The elements, the Netherlands, they are all first-class or developed countries. You're not comparing us with Rwanda. You're not comparing us with Uganda. You're not comparing us with countries that are like us. You're comparing us with countries that have always been there. They have never been oppressed by us, by a system of apartheid. These people in the Netherlands, you will find prostitutes in the windows. You call them what? Those prostitutes that are in those windows in the Netherlands, whatever. Such prostitutes there. You call them there. We're talking about prostitutes that are in the street, that are killed every day, that are being harassed by police. Not the Netherlands or Germany or Sweden or France prostitutes. So don't compare us with that, with those people. They have had many laws, they have tried this, they have tried that. Tell us what is happening in Harare, you know, so that we can compare ourselves. A goes with A goes. And then continue on the discussion of alternatives. Based on this, let me go to point 3, since 1, 2, 3. Changing the legislative framework could create an extremely dangerous cultural shift. What do you mean? Because when you talk about extremely cultural shift, you know, in psychology, they only teach about social psychology of America. That is not extreme. You know, extreme cultural shift. In psychology, every policy university in South Africa, they don't think about African culture, social African culture. They talk about extreme cultural and which came again. So you have to explain all these things that you write here. Because we're talking about a South African society that wants to change things that were there before and after. The criminalization has been there before. And they have never taken into consideration the lives of those people who live in the street. How do you protect them? Because when I go out of here, I have to tell them that it's not comfortable to decriminalize that particular legislation. In the meantime, still trying to solve economic issues that affect those people. You know? And then you say your solution is to take all these people to social development. Why Uganda didn't do that as a solution? Why are we doing that? Uganda, with the little resources that we have as a country, with so much resources that we have in this country, that the only solution that we have is social development. It can be. Then you go to the next one, considerations around models. Possible retention of comprehensive criminalization model, but with a diversion option. What is the diversion option that you're talking about? You know, telling us, because we know exactly what they're talking about. I don't know. Don't know anybody, which whatever steps that we have done, we have read, and you think dimension option. What is that dimension option that we're talking about? So I always tell CGE that when you present your report, you don't have to be late with me, because you want me to help you to develop a policy. But in this instance, what am I going to say? I'm not a specialist in law. I've never done law before. But you must tell me, what is this direction? What is this thing that you want? And continue to say, address the root causes of engaging in prostitution. What are the root causes you're talking about? So that when you raise the root causes, I'll tell you, no, don't have the root causes. But in this instance, say the root causes. What are the root causes here? I don't know. This is what we're talking about. So I'm not developing legislation and talk about root causes of engaging in prostitution. And then you talk about most prostitutes go into prostitution being young. It's not all prostitutes go there being young. Others go there being adult. So it's not, whatever that we have said in your presentation is not that right. Maybe I must come to our community so that we can engage more, because really what we have done here it's injustice. Ma'am, you are a specialist in the law. Can you please help us to develop laws that help women to go out of their predicament? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. I just have two questions about get a sense of whether the killing of the biological local commission, especially in the undertaking investigation and came up with a report, whether or not, in your presentation you are raising that case of sexual construction, and I wonder whether or not you've been able to see whether other recent legislative enactments to really address the underlying issues that were highlighted in state versus struggle. Specifically the social issues that were really meant to be addressed by criminalization of church, right? So whether you have, in your process, or so if you are doing your work, you're able to really see that the social ills that are there are attributable directly to commercial threat. And as well, I'm not sure that because the presentation is short, and you might have had to summarize a very long discourse probably. I just wanted to see something that speaks to our constitution, because we have a constitution in this country that's supposed to be the highest law in the land, and there would have been peculiar actions that are reports that the commission would have also sort of looked into and accept something around whether it's section 12.1 or section 12.2 and the like structure.
Somebody else? Okay. Come on.
Thank you, Jason. I also want to welcome the presentation that I've been made. And I'm sorry to tell that I'm previous speakers. However, I also want to re-emphasize my concern in terms of the penalties that have been mentioned according to the international research. And frustrating in that point on page 8 that international harm and exploitation of prostitution has been increasingly recognized, and they are now moving away from legalizing decriminalization. Do you have some kind of study that we could look at with regard to before and after the decriminalization? So that we perhaps look at it and bring closer to home within the African context, within the South African context. Because yet again, it's my concern also that non-African countries have been mentioned in your statement or your research that has been mentioned. Also, when looking at the previous presentation, there has been mentioned that we know, even if we know that there is an influx from foreign countries, especially from African countries, we don't have something tangible indicating if these individuals from foreign countries are also joining the industry and at which levels are they joining. That perhaps will give us an indication of how big our problem is in terms of the whether we should decriminalize or not. And the other harm or the other damage that may come with it, because we know that there is an influx of foreigners in our country. One of the other sentiments that I want to share also with regards to the previous presentation also that has been made, and perhaps you can give us some guidance in terms of that, is that we know that there are a lot of threats externally in this industry. But also there's particularly one thing that has been mentioned of the internal threat of one sex worker and has been killed by another. So yet again, I want to know if you have anything on the record that proves to us in the Mexican in a case that happened in Durban. Maybe you know of other cases of the phenomenon, how prevalent is this phenomenon country-wise. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm the person that I'm pushing back, and then my very capable colleague will take over from the Law Commission. And just on the issue of the report description, the Law Commission presented a report towards the Ministry for September 2014, and the Ministry then encouraged the Law Commission with a specific request to expand and elaborate on a certain part of the report. As I said earlier, and we were, of course, unaware. But then the Ministry Commission did just that, and it was at 2015, August 2015, based on the final report to the Ministry. And from there on, the capacity study that they evaluated to some extent. There's also been the Department of Interaction. There was an objective to approach cabinet towards the end of 2015, but circumstances prevented that from taking place. And there are things in the process that are now in the situation.
A number of questions I hope I do recall them all, I've tried to double down. The question that was raised with regards to which commissioners were involved in the report and when it was made to the Japanese Commission. It is correct, and I think that's part of the first half that was the incorporated. From 2011 to 2013, we were with our commissioners. We didn't appoint our commissioners, and then our team members in the legal fraternity. So what a gap in that time there. In 2013, we had the following commissioners appointed, Madam Justice Meyer, Mr. Justice Cotton, Professor Jay Chan, and Mr. Lawrence, and Mr. Taylor, and Mr. Rendu. In the interim, we've had Professor Kameni join us, as well as Professor Lugutu. With regards to the report of the Law Reform Commission, we have issued papers, discussion papers, and reports. The issued papers and discussion papers are circulated widely. We have a mandatory drafted, it also is available on our website. We do workshop Friday as well, and we don't reach everyone, but we do workshop Friday, and the submission period is open to anyone who gets submissions to the Law Reform Commission. The reports we have are submitted to a full sitting of the Commission. Our issue papers and discussion papers are just that, issue papers and discussion papers to get the debate going. So not anything to mark all with regards to that. The report, our full commission interrogates the content of the discussion of the report. The commissioner appointed to the official offences investigation was Professor Abutu. Professor and then Judge Collison took a matter further with Judge Professor Abutu is currently leading the sexual offences project, and she's leading up with pornography children. Prior to that was Judge Meyer, and Judge Meyer was present at the time of the report being approved by the Commission. When we had our engagements with the Ministry, Judge Collison took over from there, and he became very closely associated with the process from there. So the Commissioners were not only involved, but they considered the report and the recommendations contained in the report. And only after they gave their approval, and full Commission meeting, is that committed to the Ministry. With regard to your second year research and more recent research, we try to keep it pretty topical and up to date. We have tried to keep up to date with recent lessons and have just added lessons right up to stage 14. So our new research is not as dated as may have been portrayed. With regard to the person that we engaged with, but not only 2,650 people, these are 2,000, these are, I wish I could give you a report, but it's not my case to do so. We have over 2,650 submissions, and they are organizations, including SWEC, including the HSRC, including the CGE, including DL, the Embrace Dignity, and a number of organizations. They are too numerous to list. They are all contained in a fully tabulated index. So we not only, I mean, those organizations represent thousands of people, and they've gone down to their constituents and engaged with them as well. And I believe in SWEC actually gave up their submission, they have engaged with their constituents too. We have listed each and every person's name where they have given us individual submissions. We have individual submissions from people working in the industry, selling facial services. We have names, some pseudonyms. We have had people ask our teams, I want to remain anonymous. You may have my name, but I do not want my name out there. I'm going to be there tomorrow. And we've respected them as well. So it goes much wider than just 2,650 people. In terms of understanding the report, and what again, I apologize, it's not my place to submit the report, and I'm not allowed to release the report to you. That will be done at the Minister's discretion. We've been told it will be imminent. More than that, I can't do. So I apologize for it being vague. But within this, I did extend to it to your committee chair too, that I could not talk to content. I tried to pick out highlights as I could, because if I picked to the content, I released the report. And I wanted to respect you by bringing forward what the Commission has considered, but we cannot do it in that context. When you speak about implementation, one of the prerequisites, and it's very important around implementation, is the fact that all our legislation has to be vetted by the EPME. And a fair report will is being considered by the EPME on this whole issue. So a fair report is your socioeconomic impact assessment, and that has to be done before any legislation is considered by Parliament, because we do not want to go the route of rejecting legislation where it's not implementable and appropriate. So that is being done. Regarding the other countries and the comparability of other countries, I'm not quite about one thing. I've picked up countries that seem to have been moving quite recently. I mean, the movement is in all the countries in France that I think now, as you see, 2015, 2014, it's really current. The countries, I've listed in a number of countries, just in terms of Africa, in the report, and even I don't think this is a very ideal recommendation, but with regard to Africa, I've listed Bolivia, Botswana, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Burundi, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Uganda, Liberia, Morocco, Sierra Leone, I've just mentioned a few. So I've looked at all those countries, and we are interrogating what is happening in those countries, and so I've looked at, made visits to other Western countries as such, because there's a movement towards decriminalisation, a very strong movement towards that, and that is where it has taken place. And where there seems to be, for when we're looking at research, a huge callback, where it doesn't seem to have worked. And the context, the South African context, is very, very important. Because if you're looking at porous borders, you need to do interrogation and research. But we must know in New Zealand, for example, where they don't allow migrants to work in the industry at all. It's only citizens. Migrants are not allowed to, that is an exclusion. So actually it's a regulatory system, not a decriminalized system. It can really impact it piece by piece. So that's the reason why I'm talking about the borders and what we're looking at and what challenges are being unique. We have to look at what's happening in terms of our own gender machinery in South Africa too. So, as I say, I'm sorry I'm reading it in a very sort of fashion, but that is the report. I don't know how to produce this and give it to you, but I'm not sure about this. I just want to say that, you know, it's very difficult to talk looking at, but I'll try and apply it to those two your questions. If you're just looking at that and worry about HIV and cervical cancer, that's a very, very real concern. It's a real concern. And I've actually changed, I just changed it in 3 months, to the sex worker plan. And it's crucial so that the South African National Sex Worker HIV Plan is 2016-2019. It's important, if you go to page 50, you'll see there where we talk about child protection and the equal sexual education of children. And there particularly it talks to the physical effects of child prostitution, including HIV infection, the vaginal form of pain, anger, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, insomnia, sexual reproductive health problems. There's a variety of issues that we need to look at in this context. And if you look at age groups, I'm just looking at different organizations that have brought information to us. We're looking at ages of 13, that's not the majority. We're looking at ages, the HIV rate and the latest HIV research has spiked in the age groups of 15 to 24 with our sugar daddy. Transactional relationships, that is so important to have this grouping of 15 to 24. And none of these girls may actually be involved in prostitution. So one needs to look at it. Is it a transactional relationship? Is it prostitution? But it's a huge spike. It's the only area where you see a spike in HIV prevalence as opposed to a decline. So the age groups are very important. Doctors for Life run a second project for Dr. Kevin. And when I ask them typically when they gave their position of what age groups are looking at, and they get to be 16 upwards. And I'm not going to say this often, something that we'd like to have written report to, is you can convey to sex at 16 in South Africa. That means that you can have consensual sex. So why should you be able to have consensual sex and not a reward between 16 and 18? That's something that you can address in this report. So here we're talking about raising the age to 21, but we've got this estimate from 16 to 18. They're very vulnerable and they've got the highest prevalence of HIV. So those are issues that we have addressed and hopefully we'll be able to engage on soon. With regards to brothels and such, we have run admissions from brothel owners. We've looked at comparative studies regarding thinking, regarding clientele, that the Medical Research Council, as I said, has done incredible research regarding the kind of people selling sexual services, and they're coming to be very violent, also involved in so I mean, you know, that was the research we can make available. Explain the definition of white prostitution and see it as a history originally, and this we look at the overarching indications into law reform sexual offences. We have to compartmentalize how we're going to deal with this huge project. And what we decided at that point, because we're looking at child prostitution too, we decided to address child prostitution in the sexual offences, the criminal law sexual offences and related matters against the Act of 32,006. And we were dealing with child prostitution, and we separated child prostitution from adult prostitution. And at that point, I mean, child prostitution has now become sexual exploitation of children. So at that point, we couldn't say we didn't with sex work, for example. So we kept to the terminology that we had available at that time. So it wasn't to make a policy choice, but to keep to that terminology. With regards to trafficking and how we correlate the two, there are a number of women we understand from the National Task Team on Trafficking in South Africa, which has been set up in terms of the trafficking legislation, that have brought evidence to say that there is a large amount of trafficking happening in South Africa which relates to a number of issues. Farm workers, sex shops, all sorts of things, but it does include the sale of social services. But people are being held in bondage, their passports are removed, and there's a number of you seen in the media. One only has to Google what's happening, and you get about 3-4 reports in the last year regarding trafficking, particularly of children, and being held in bondage regarding the sale of sexual services. We look at in the report as well at the admission of choice. Does the person have a choice when they actually engage in the beginning, or do they have a choice every time that they engage with clients? So there's different terminology that we also explore. I hope you can just get this out. I'm sorry that I'm not into the content, but I did make that very clear when you responded to the invitation. And then, sorry, with regards to opinions of polarized, what we found internationally, opinions are always polarized. You have people that, one of the people that, it wasn't meant to be putting this in the negative, we do have positive stuff in the report, that takes us to our recommendations. and they are from Sierra Leone. But with regard to the different views, you usually have people on different calls. The one effect looking towards criminalization and the other towards decriminalization. There's very little in between. Right this time though, there's very little, and what Hannah is going to share, there's very little issues coming around the morality of it. We're really looking at irrespective of which submissions we receive. It was very much concerned on the vulnerability and the challenges that are faced by people in who are selling sexual services. I think a lot of the vagueness. And then the question was about what is the diversion option. But this takes us through to the some of the discussions in the actual report. And I'm not able to bring you to a point of developing a policy. I could do that once we have had the report that's available. And I think the root causes that we have found, we have noted in the slide, is that we have unemployment, inequality, and issues, the root causes which are, and issues which are raised in the National Development Plan, issues which are raised by organizations such as threats or all root causes. The question raised by PGE related to the expert fraud impact, and whether we have a look at the actual arguments in the case, and to see what the social issues really were. What might be of interest is that the Canadian case and the Canadian constitution hold similar provisions to our constitution, and you'll find in the Bedford case that they interrogated the provisions very similarly to the issue of the British Jordan case. And in that case, they focused particularly on the rights which are entrenched in the constitution regarding dignity, the protections which are actually also in the British Jordan. So yes, we have addressed it in the report as well. And in regards to the external threat in the industry, a sex worker still by others, as I said, there is quite a bit of research, and we try and make it available to you. The Medical Research Council has a number of people who are researching it, I think other international research as well, if that could be of use.
Here and you are even on the main side of home department.
I don't know whether it's just true, but I was wondering if you could ask me.
Yeah,
of course, we are going to say that.
You can say that.
Yeah, yeah, very soon you can. No, again. I'm going to answer it, but I think they are also going to take a true information also, because she has to be. I don't know where are we going to.
Cabinet and they decided that they can deal with take on board, and then the cabinet would formulate its own opinion. And that the Department of Justice is going to put together options. So that's what you said publicly. And so I'm reflecting what you said publicly at that event. I think it's important that everybody here be informed of that. I have a link to the YouTube video of the speech if anybody wants to see the whole thing. I'm also interested that he could mention some numbers of people prosecuted under the current Sexual Offence Act with regard to sections that refer to sexless prostitution. And in the, I think he said 200 or 250, I can't remember the exact number. But we requested that information from the National Prostitution Authority last year, I think. And we were told that information doesn't actually exist. And I was kind of shocked that, that he had that information. We weren't planning on following up. But I think now is the opportunity for women in Parliament to stand behind the Secretary, who are the majority women. Because we've been waiting a long time for information to be made available for public debate, for engagement. And the shape of the work is to be prioritized in that discussion. We have been working really hard to be ready for that. Support chairs and organizing its members across the country. We've been providing services directly to sex workers with regard to all kinds of issues. We're currently involved in a study on cervical cancer. We have been doing our work, and we've been working really hard to make sure that there are services available to sex workers. But that would be completely being eroded by the legal system in the country. Sometimes our vans that go out to reach out to the workers are closed by police vans. And our customers are outraged that they come forward to receive the workers of the office. I think if I can make an appeal, I know we're not going to get through everything in this form, and obviously that we can take this and fracture and provide you with all the information that you need. But it's, I think, a good time for the women's caucus to become more involved in the process. And we would offer, if you want to go on outreach at our offices or with our partner organizations and meet sex workers, see the conditions that sex workers work with, and to speak to sex work authority, we can also provide you with research, we can provide you with information, and we are ready for you to engage with us. And we can organize the sex workers to speak to them as well, as you see, everybody has. So, yeah, that's the information that we have, and I think it's good that it is pretty important for the situation.
Okay. You know, I'm going to allow you to vote. I really forgot that you had to vote. It's not very unfair because we are amongst women.
Actually, being only announced actually in the contract, you have an option. Yeah, actually, so there's a very simple question, and two people position. One is now, I've just identified that who to give me the opportunity, I have to say. In their last week, the Minister of the Airflot on their presentation, I think they mentioned that the others in the play, the income of prostitution are not calculable to be called sex workers, if I'm not mistaken. And partly, the word goes too soon. Being what it was is quite helpful to the way we analyze each sex work. I think it made most of the approach to the effect, their presentation, to be more comfortable with whatever they are doing. Actually, I think even to the option of having business to pay off in a prostitute if you don't want to call it the same thing. And the web prostitution also, because people are hearing in every corner of their presentation, recently about fully if they are in favor of cheating and instead of using sex work, I think it might be a motivation to those who want to be in favor of the legalization of sex work. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. specialized in the alarm. Because we have got another presentation that should come, and we are supposed to end the school period. And the question is using questions and answers to them. Because we are going to be able to
and
that's what we call to do on the
No, I'm going to control the city.
and the way I find it defeating, because if you don't understand that, you can't approach it, that's not even fair. In actual fact, we have good reasons now to really come up with another plan for this as a committee, because it seems we are talking Greek from now. So these are questions that are really fine. And I think I want to propose that we do this later. Because with the content that we have, no response, we don't get any response, we are not getting anywhere. The fact that the report, the lady there is giving us an intimation of what transpired in the conference we get it. And what, and everybody saw it on TV. And you know, at one stage I was surprised what is happening, because I took it for granted that the basic must be speaking sense. But later I found that there is something wrong. Now this is confirmed by what we are hearing here.
Yeah.
I want to propose that we close this. We are going to deal with this, and I really, really promise that we are going to call for another meeting with this. Is that fine?
About 2 weeks now.
I'll put this stupid open.
What?
I don't know. But that's very attractive there. Okay. Can we come back now? I think we'll give us a separating from the discussion and discussion. I wonder what I'm going to ask for kids. Because you've got nothing in it.
Wait,
okay. Maybe give you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon to the chair, member of the parliament, and all the participants present. I was asked by the chairperson to look at the issue of non-informed protest that we follow in decriminalizing sex work. Now, I specifically looked at from the perspective of the multi-party women's caucus and the avenues available to the caucus to now advocate for decriminalization of sex work. So, the caucus itself in terms of the joint rules of parliament, and it has been given a very specific mandate, and I've listed the function of the caucus on the screen there. So if you look at the function, we can find a way in which the caucus can use this as a mechanism to advocate for the decriminalization of sex work with the parliamentary context. The caucus is an advisory, influencing and consultative body, helps in terms of the joint rules promoting issues affecting women in the processes of parliament. The functions that are there provide mechanisms in which the caucus may seek to engage with various parliamentary role players to think about going from, and this specific instance to advocate for the decriminalization of sex work. In terms of the joint rules, the caucus is specifically mandated to promote the discussion of women's issues in parliament and introducing a woman's perspective and focus in parliamentary activities. These functions provide the caucus with a mandate to raise the issue of decriminalizing sex work with the various parliamentary bodies. They also provide an opportunity for members of the caucus to bring about or to offer a motion for the discussion and debate of this issue in the House of Parliament. They also provide the caucus may issue its report to the relevant parliamentary committee with recommendations so to take the focus of this issue forward. The caucus can also make submissions to the portfolio and select committees that are in charge of the oversight of women's issues and highlight the need for law reform. So the further functions of the caucus are also listed here. And specifically, we are looking at the functions set out in Rule 2B. It says that the caucus may make substantial reports, submit a substantial report and proposal to parliamentary forums, and these include parliamentary committees such as the Justice Committee that deal with this issue or have oversight over the legislation that specifically deals with sex work. So, in summary, these are the options for advocating for law reform. Promoting the issue of decriminalization within parliament. If within the caucus and specific members to deal with this issue, there may be a great awareness. But in the broader context and among all members, there may not be the awareness as to the importance of this issue. And without that political buy-in that goes to move forward, then the issue will not move forward. Again, you can make submissions to the portfolio and the state committees dealing with women's issues, bring them down to the discussion and debate,
raise the issue with political structures outside Parliament. This is what's dealing with the issue of your own parties to raise awareness to get by from other members. Submitting a related submission to the portfolio committee. So with regard to law reform, the first point that I want to make is that reforming the applicable statute must start with a policy decision to be made on how will the law regulate safe work. Without having this policy decision made, we will not move forward. And from all submissions that I've heard, this is a scheme that the issue is now stuck because we haven't gone in the department to tell us what particular course of action they will take, and beyond the way legislation will be introduced. So we've all heard the suggested timelines, but until a policy decision is made and we know the various options, the law reform issue will not be taken forward. So what are the laws that will be required to be reformed? The two main objectives of the legislation and other presenters have dealt with in detail is the Sexual Offences Act of 1967 and Sexual Offences Amendment Act. The Sexual Offences Act of 1967 criminalized sex work with associated offences such as keeping a brothel and living off the under of prostitution. The Sexual Offences Amendment Act criminalized the purchase of sex from a person over the age of 18. Now, the above two are the main sources of law that currently regulate sex work. The Department of Justice and Correctional Services is the custodian of these acts, and the Portfolio Committee of Justice and Correctional Services oversees the department. Other departments that may have a stake in this issue is the Department of Police, Social Development and Health, and the corresponding Portfolio Committee, as well as committees in the National Council of Provinces. So, we are the stakeholders that need to be engaged, and the issue needs to be, they need to be alerted about the importance of this issue and how much the call of the wishes for this issue to be taken forward. So, now that deals with advocating, how do we raise awareness? What is the legislative process to get about the law reform? As I said, there must be amendments made to the applicable piece of legislation and also how the decision is made. In terms of the actual process of introducing legislation, I'm not going to go into all technical details, but basically, in terms of Section 32 of the Constitution, a cabinet member or a deputy minister may introduce the bill, members of Parliament may introduce the bill for a committee of the National Assembly. For the purpose of the presentation, I would assume that the bill will be a Section 75 bill, and they will refer mainly to the National Assembly Committee. So the three types of bills that are highlighted is executive bills, committee bills, and primary bills, with regard to executive bills. The vast majority of bills that are processed by Parliament are executive bills. The Constitution mandates the executive to develop and implement national policy and prepare and initiate legislation. And you know the executive has vast resources to take over these processes. The way that bills are introduced is the minister will introduce and it will go through the necessary parliamentary processes. The other two bills that are very specific, which may be applicable directly to the court in how to recognize a different way of advocating for the issue, is committee bills. Now, the Constitution allows the committees to introduce their own bills, that means they will have to prepare and draft their own legislation. And they do this by first seeking the permission of the Assembly to do so. So we would have to go through all processes, set up the rules, and bring forward, put the issue forward to the Assembly, who will give you approval to draft legislation. The end of the legislation can be drafted using parliamentary legal services, and you do have a draft union. So it's obviously a more difficult task, because Parliament does not have the same resources that the executive has available today, but it is mechanisms and implementation to assist the committee if they wish to draft on this process. And the last option is private members. Members of Parliament have a right to introduce legislation in Parliament. And there's also a set process in place as to how to comply with the rules. But a member who wishes to do so needs to draft the bill, and there's resources available to assist that member. This is obviously the most difficult of the three projects because private members have to do a lot of work to take over the project. But these are the three options that are available. Two options available outside the legislative board. So the committee and the focus are not able to not be designed by the department, they could consider these two options. And in conclusion,
parliamentary structure by using all the available mechanisms to in terms of the rules to raise awareness. The next thing is the policy decision. I'm sure a policy decision is taken on how stable will be the regulation of decriminalized, the process will not move forward. So I share the committee and members of this caucus in their particular portfolio of next committee raise this issue with the Department of Justice for Policy to raise the legislation on what is the process. And the last year will be legislated and others just discussed the three ways of legislation to bring about the work reform. So that was my very short presentation as to the option of the members of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Eichen. Do you have any questions of clarity or? Any questions from the committee? From the members? I take it that you have understood your money and you always know about it. Okay. Thank you very much. I think we are going to continue with this issue effectively. Since we have come to an end of the meeting, we thank everyone who managed to come to the meeting, and we hope to see you again. Thank you to the church, thank you to CCE, and the law reform, and thanks to the staff. And, thank you very much to the same committee members. The meeting is again. Thank you.